You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
No. We're always friends, but this is how friends act. I just slapped the floor, Mark. I'm ready to play some defense here.
I'm not used to that from you neither.
NBA playoffs round two.
The Celtics 2-0 on the Raptors. Surprised?
Yeah, actually, I really am. I really thought that Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, former defensive player of the year, these guys are champions. I didn't think that they would be outplayed by Robert Williams and Daniel Tice, or even Grant Williams, for that matter. And the Celtic bigs have really done a great job. It's going to be a long series for Toronto.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Final hour on this Thursday. It's been exciting so far. First 2 hours, Brooklyn Nets have a new head coach, former two-time MVP Steve Nash. Come on down. I didn't even hear his name rumored to be a head coach in the NBA. Developed a relationship with Kevin Durant when he was a special consultant in Golden State, and now he's his head coach. There are rumblings in the Big Ten. Right now, multiple reports that the Big Ten is going to have a revote, perhaps Friday or Saturday, and decide if they are going to play football. This is what I don't understand. I don't know how many yes votes it would take. Is it just a simple majority? What happens if you say no, but then you're in the minority here? Do you still have to play football? Let's say Northwestern says, we don't want to play football. What if three other teams are with them? So then they don't have to play football? Is it the majority is going to vote on the Big Ten, whether the Big Ten is playing football, or it's whoever's saying yes, if it's a majority, then you can play football? How many teams does it take? How many schools would it take for the Big Ten to have a schedule? And I don't know about the structure of the vote. That's what I find interesting here. And if you're going to have 14 votes here with the chancellors and the presidents representing each school, can you have eight yeses and six noes? And then the eight play? Do you need 10? We might actually have a Big Ten. Because will it be 10 to 4? If I have Ohio State, Iowa, and Nebraska, we know those are yeses right now. I don't know about the other schools. I'm assuming Wisconsin is all in. I'm assuming. Yes, McLovin.
Penn State's really good this year, so wouldn't they be a yes? Or I don't know if you know any of these.
I don't know. We reached out to all these coaches. And even Barry Alvarez, the athletic director at Wisconsin, because he's a major player in this. And everybody went radio silent, which is their right, their prerogative. But as I said at the start of the show, I didn't even know that we were getting to the point where there was going to be a revote. I said, it's been quiet in the Big Ten, and I'm going to view that as a positive. But I don't know anything other than that. From what I was told from my source this morning, there's a real philosophical divide in the Big Ten right now. But I don't know how many yeses it takes to play football or how many noes it takes to shut this down. Yeah, McLovin.
Quick impossible question for you. You said October 10th would possibly put them in position for the college football playoff. If there's COVID cancellations, is there a minimum number of games a team will have to play to get to the college football playoff? How is that all going to work?
I don't know if you push back the playoffs. I think you're trying to build in a bye week for everybody, so that you can kind of hit the reset button on making sure that you're following safety protocols there. I don't know how many games you have to have. I think it's just they're going to go on the rankings here. They're going to have a national title game. They're planning on having a Final Four, whether the Big Ten is involved or not. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Poll question for the final hour is what, McLean?
Who needs playoff success the most right now? Clayton Kershaw is a strong number one. James Harden, then Mike Trout, then Giannis Antetokounmpo. Sorry. I'm saying the whole first thing.
Just say Greek Freak.
And then Lamar Jackson's only at 3%, which is funny because I'm seeing that storyline a lot, that Lamar Jackson has to prove he can do it in the playoffs.
Yeah, but as young as he is, I'm not going, boy, he's a failure, or he can't win the big one. I'm not there yet with Lamar Jackson. And Mike Trout can only do so much. that I don't really put it on positional players as much as I do pitchers and how you do in the postseason. James Harden, that window of opportunity, I think, has left the building. And Giannis, you can't bow out in the second round. You shouldn't bow out in the second round. And I think the pressure would be next year with Giannis of how far are you going to get in the postseason. But the Miami Heat pick up the win last night. A controversial finish. I didn't like either of those calls at the end of the game. And who would have thought that James Harden's defense would be the reasons why, or one of the reasons why, the Rockets are going on to face the Lakers. That'll be tomorrow night, game one. Nuggets, Clippers, game one tonight. The Raptors and the Celtics, game three. Who would have thought we would be at the make-or-break point for the Raptors this season? That game coming up tonight. Game three, down two games to none. We'll go inside the bubble. Sam Amick of The Athletic does a great job. Get his thoughts on a variety of things NBA-wise, including Steve Nash going to the Nets. I'm also hearing that Tyronn Lue is going to get a job. Ty Lue, now, I had said this before, the 76ers, they were looking at Jay Wright at Villanova. I said, he's not leaving Villanova to take the Sixers job. And then Jay Wright came out yesterday and said, I'm not leaving Villanova. Like Dan Patrick said, I'm not leaving Villanova to take the Sixers job. He's got a great job there. Great gig. Why would you take on the headache of the 76ers right now? So Ty Lue, I think he'll get a strong run there with Philadelphia, from what I'm told. But Jay Wright, no, I'm not going to do that. Let me see. Michael in Chicago. Hey, Mike, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, what's going on, man?
Hey.
First-time caller, 6'1", 200.
Mm-hmm.
Just touching on the poll question of which player needs playoff success the most. As a Detroit Lions fan, I got to say it's Matt Stafford. No, I love the guy, but national media always saying he needs that playoff win to take the next step and become an elite quarterback. So,
all right. Well, thank you, Michael. I don't think there'd be many people who would single out Matthew Stafford. Like, we're just talking about getting a playoff win. The other guys were talking about winning a title. So the expectation level is a whole lot different for Matthew Stafford. We'd be satisfied if Matthew Stafford went 10-6 and they won their first round game. We'd be like, oh, that's a pretty good year for Matthew Stafford. Expectations are tamped down a little bit with the Detroit Lions. Let's see. What else do I have? Oh, Leonard Fournette going to Tampa Bay. I kept thinking this. You know, Tampa is loading up. Like, they have three tight ends. Quality tight ends. Three tight ends. A couple of really good wide receivers. Now Ronald Jones the second and Leonard Fournette at running back. They could use a few more linemen probably, but now all of a sudden, Tom's got to be going. Tom Brady's got to go. Wait, is this real? Like, I had a dream last night that I had three tight ends and two really good wide receivers and two running backs, and I got a really great offensive-minded head coach. It is real. As opposed to Cam Newton going, okay, I had this crazy dream that the Panthers let me go. I went to New England. I have to follow in Tom Brady's footsteps. And then I look around and I got Julian Edelman. Oh, no, that is reality. That's all I have is Julian Edelman, a Rex Burkhart. And Sony Michel. Yeah, Paul.
Brady's used to seeing a rookie 5'9 wide receiver out of New Hampshire as his new hot target.
Yeah. 5'9 white guy out of New Hampshire. He's scrappy. Yes, McLaughlin.
I saw an Eagles reporter tweet this, and I might agree. Is this Bucs team starting to feel a little bit like the Eagles dream team with Nnamdi Asamoah and all those names? Is it feeling a little like they're collecting some free agents? In the NFL, that sometimes doesn't work.
Well, they had Gronk and Fournette. Ronald Jones the second was there. Cameron Brate was there. O.J. Howard was there. Your wide receivers were there.
Yeah, but it's a bunch of names. And like you said, if the line isn't good, then all those names are not going to do anything.
I'm just wondering how you keep everybody happy. And I know it's Tom Brady. See, the thing that you're going to have with Gronk is I don't have to have Gronk out there. Gronk can be just a specialized position because you got tight ends who can do, they're better than Gronk right now. But if I can have Gronk in red zone situations and he's not worried about his touches, then you just put him out there, whether it's a decoy or you're able to use that big body to, you know, fend off or shield off somebody, then that's a valuable weapon. The, you know, Fournette catches the ball, and Brady needs his running backs to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't know how you are at blocking, because that's going to be important as well, you know, if Tom is back there for longer than, you know, 3 seconds. If that offensive line is not great, you know, you're going to have somebody who's able to pick up, chip somebody as they come off the edge there. And Leonard Fournette, I think it's a great pickup from the standpoint of this guy rushed for 1,100 yards, and he had, 500 yards in receiving. He's still on his rookie deal, and he wants to get to that next contract. I'm pretty good with that. Pretty good with that. What were some of the other questions that we had this morning, McLovin? Other poll questions?
Well, we were looking at Cam Newton's weapons. I mean, that has to be the worst wide receiving core in the league in New England. It's Julian Edelman, who's 34. N'Keal Harry, who's completely unproven. Gunnar Osiemski, who we noted. Guys that we barely know, like Demir Byrd. Who else on here?
Jacoby Myers. The law firm of Jacoby Myers.
It just doesn't seem like... they're going to have to run the ball because Cam does not have a lot of targets. They don't have a tight end that we know.
Cam overcame the Kelvin Benjamin era in Carolina. He could overcome anything. That guy was stunk. That's no offense.
That's when Kelvin Benjamin walked onto the field.
I was the biggest fan of his at college.
Well, when I saw him, when we had the opening night in Denver, when Carolina played Denver, and Kelvin Benjamin was on the field, like they came out, I thought a basketball team was on the field. I went, they got like five guys who were 6'6". I felt the same way when Mike Williams came on the field at USC, and I went, good God, I can't imagine trying to stop that guy. But then he stopped himself. Didn't they have Roy Williams, Charles Rogers, and from Michigan State, the number two pick overall?
Yep. Yeah. That was Matt Millen's drafts.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't go well.
And then now there's a new...
Oh, Roy Williams out of Texas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's a new incredibly tall Mike Williams on the Chargers, who's different than the other Mike Williams.
Yeah. Is he injured?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
He's a Charger.
Oh, that's right. I think they don't sign you unless they know you're injured. Hey, are you injured? Yeah. Come on in. Stay a while. I mean, on the injured list. Derwin James. A bummer. John in North Carolina. Hi, John. What do you have for me today?
Yeah, 5'9", 250.
Whoa.
I just really wanted to ask which team has more to prove, Giannis's Bucks or Jason Tatum's Celtics?
God, John, you sound like John Thompson. No, I'm serious. It's kind of freaking me out. But thank you, John. Thanks for the phone call. Did you guys hear this? It sounded like John Thompson. Whoa. I don't even know the question. It had something to do with Jason Tatum and something to do with maybe the Celtics and Bucks.
Who had more pressure, the Celtics with Jason Tatum Celtics or Giannis's Bucks? Who has more pressure?
Oh, Giannis. Oh, Giannis by far. I mean, you're the defensive player of the year, and you're going to be back-to-back MVP. Yeah, he got a ton of pressure on him. People are still just like realizing how great Jason Tatum, and I say great, and I know we overuse that. Jason Tatum is great. He's a matchup nightmare. He's a great defender, a good defender. And just him and Jaylen Brown together. But he is really, really good. I enjoy watching Tatum. And he improves. He's getting better and better and better and better. And that's what I love. Show me greatness, but when I see greatness, I see somebody who wants to add to their game. And he strikes me as somebody who's adding to their game. Let me see. What do we have here? Terry in New York joins us. Hi, Terry. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan. How are you doing today?
Good. Good, sir.
Good. I just wanted to say, I heard you guys talk about that Philly team. In the time they're building up, getting off free agents and stuff, listen, man, they got Tom Brady. Philly didn't have Tom Brady. They got Tom Brady until something's proven different. He's still Tom Brady. TB inside TB. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Terry. Didn't Vince Young, wasn't he the one who labeled it the dream team?
Yeah, he came in as a backup
yeah,
to Donovan.
Yeah, he's not even starting, and then he's the one who brought in the dream team. Here's some numbers for you. The Heat are the first number five seed in NBA history to take a 2-0 series lead over a number one seed. Now, I know we don't have home court advantage, but the Raptors also down 2-0 to Boston. First time ever that a conference, the two top seeds have faced a 2-0 series deficit in the same round. And go back to what the Bucks were doing by the end of February. They were 51-8. They had never lost back-to-back games. They are 9-12 since March 1st, including 7-8 in the bubble.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
I believe we have college football coming up tonight.
You'd be right, Dan. Central Arkansas is back, 1-0 on the season. They should be ranked number one against UAB. I think that's on TV.
Okay.
And then South Alabama, not Southern Alabama, South Alabama against Southern Mississippi.
Okay.
That's on CBS Sports Network at 9 o'clock. That's a good match.
I'm all in. I'm missing Maction.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss Maction because, you know, I'm always jonesing for a Tuesday night, even a Wednesday night game.
I could help you out with a little Eastern Kentucky Marshall on Saturday afternoon or Middle Tennessee Navy or Army.
I wanted to go to the Army game.
Middle Tennessee Army, 1 o'clock start.
But I don't know if I can get in to the Army game. But I said to my wife, because I said, you know,
we could get you in the press box.
Yeah, but I like to be.
You want to be on the field?
Yeah. I like to be there on the field. Yes, Todd.
Our buddy Ross Tucker is calling that game. So we got connections. You got an in there. Ross can pull some
nice.
Things. We'll take you
We
with
can
him.
Get you in there for Army.
I was thinking of, you know, taking the wife up to see West Point. Go up there. Be nice.
They're giving 3.5 if you want to get down.
No, I don't want to put any money on it, but I would like to go see that. All right, let me take a break. Sam Amick, who covers the NBA for The Athletic, and get his thoughts on Steve Nash. Steve Nash going to the Brooklyn Nets. Also, this Lakers matchup with the Rockets. You also have the Clippers and the Nuggets. They get underway tonight. Raptors-Celtics Game 3. More of your phone calls coming up as well. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Just found out that Josh Gordon is back with the Seattle Seahawks. I think we're waiting for Antonio Brown to end up there as well, but Josh Gordon is going back to the Seattle Seahawks. This program, the award-nominated program, brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe. Because life is a race, visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any of our interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, just go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. We have a merch sale going on, don't we, Seton? Labor Day merch sale?
Yeah. If you use the promo code Labor Day, when you buy any full-price hoodie or shirt, you'll get a shirt half off.
Okay. But it's not half a shirt.
No, it's the full shirt, and you can wear it completely on your body.
Okay.
You just pay half the price.
Half price, okay.
Yeah.
Just to make sure.
Or you could choose to wear it half off your body, too, if you'd like. But we're not here to tell you how to wear it.
By the way, Fritzy wearing is Harden the Interruption, and it is tight on
you. I'm feeling some low levels of oxygen here.
What is tighter, the games last night or that shirt?
I'm gonna go push.
And which is a worse foul?
Wow. That's not nice.
I don't know.
Scene usually has my back. Paulie's the mean one. And now there, see what happens? The whole front row, it rubs off on each other.
He's filling the sleeves.
He is.
Filling the stomach
Look,
area.
Look, you could be eye candy. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to diminish. What
the
you're,
cusp of something.
Yes. Somebody may look at this as eye candy.
Somebody. There's somebody for everybody.
Yes. Sam Amick, he writes for The Athletic, the NBA senior writer. He was in attendance for both games last night. But let me start with a headline here. Steve Nash going to the Brooklyn Nets as a head coach. Who saw this one coming, Sam?
Well, we didn't, my friend. Yeah, Dan, they caught us off guard. I love the pick, to be honest with you. We all know the relationship between Steve and Kevin Durant from the Warriors days. I was around those teams a lot. And I tell you, like, I look at Steve and it's a genius move. He laid in the shadows and learned from people after retirement. Obviously, you know, was a guy that wanted to get on the sideline at some point. But no, we didn't see it coming. And I do like it though. And I love the fact that Jacques Vaughn's still going to be there to be a major part of what they're doing. But I give it a big thumbs up.
But explain that relationship with Steve Nash and Kevin Durant and Golden State.
So Kevin, you know, is a guy who certainly kind of gives a tip of the cap to the greats. He does talk to a lot of them and is a basketball scientist, so to speak. And so Steve and him clicked a lot during the Warriors days. Forget Steve's exact title. It was basically consultant advisor, but dear friend of Warriors coach Steve Kerr's, and somebody who, you know, when the cameras weren't watching, would spend time in the off season, would spend time intermittently during the season with Kevin, and, you know, and just vibing in the kind of way that only so many people on this planet can from a basketball perspective. And I like it for Kevin because, honestly, I just said this to somebody in a chat I had, you know, most of his Warriors relationships seemingly, it kind of had this sense that there was a burned bridge there from that chapter in his career. And this is one of those things where I think it gives him a little piece of kind of, you know, what he did, what he accomplished during that time, and carries it over to this next challenge. And, you know, and Steve, as far as people who I've covered, who you sit there and listen to and go, yeah, okay, he's on a different level. I mean, Steve is on the short list. And so I think he's probably going to be a very good head coach.
What about with Kyrie Irving? I don't worry about Durant. Kyrie's always the question.
Yeah. No, he is. I mean, you got the obvious, which is the point guard language that they can speak. And you have Steve's style, which in terms of personality, you know, if anybody was going to be able to withstand, you know, kind of the highs and lows of what come with Kyrie Irving in terms of his makeup and his personality, I think Steve's got that relationship moxie. Now, you know, the power stuff, the when they have tough times stuff, that would be the number one question for me. When something really hard has got to be said, how does Steve say it? How does he deliver it? You know, but he's going to be, I do think, a Steve Kerr kind of coach, you know. And so again, the connection between Kevin's Warriors chapter and this one is fascinating. The Kyrie thing, Kyrie's got to fix the optics that surround him. You know what I mean? So he's got a lot on the table too here.
The Rockets advance. What do you think the Lakers' reaction was to last night's result?
I almost feel like LeBron might have been disappointed because his guy, from a personal standpoint, because his guy Chris Paul almost shocked the world. I mean, I was watching that game, and Dan, you know, we don't root for anybody, but I got to admit, I'm watching this thing going, wow, like, is Chris really going to get his revenge on the Rockets and pull this thing off? I mean, you know, he's kind of talked about this, but people got to understand the degree to which he was upset about that trade. So that would have been a hell of a story. But basketball wise, you know, I honestly, if you're the Lakers, you got to be happy. You're not seeing defenders like Luke and Dort, you know, which is something I never thought I would say a couple of months ago. You know, still barely pronounce the guy's name, and he was incredible last night. You know, you got the Rockets star power, but I don't know. They don't look great. James Harden was terrible in game 7 offensively. And so, you know, I think if we're doing the old prediction game, I'd probably go, you know, Lakers in 6 type of deal. But, you know, I think the other thing is, Dan, the Lakers have been chilling. Like, they have been hanging out for 3 days. And I went to their practice the other day, and they were very low key and very light. And it's the kind of mood that is pretty tough to come by in the bubble. And I guarantee you that's going to help them tomorrow.
Finish this sentence. If the Rockets had lost last night.
Well, truthfully, I think Mike D'Antoni is very likely gone anyway. So, you know, there's that element. You know, there's certainly just talk around the league about Daryl Morey and, you know, his future, but he's got several years on his contract. That has been, every time I've tried to go straight to the source on that one with the Rockets, that has been shot down, you know, pretty aggressively that he's in trouble. But you have a wild card of Tillman Fertitta, who is an extremely emotional type of owner, the Rockets owner who's been there a few years now and who has seen a lot of W's, but, you know, seen a lot of playoff heartache. So I don't know what they would have done with the roster. James Harden's not going anywhere. And I don't think Russ is either. I think they would probably keep riding it out and just figure out, you know, what other kind of around the edge improvements they wanted to make.
We're talking to Sam Amick. He is an NBA senior writer for The Athletic. Who's in more trouble, the Milwaukee Bucks or the Toronto Raptors?
I'm going to say the Bucks. I mean, they're both in big trouble. The Raptors looked a lot better in game two, just didn't pull it out. The Bucks honestly look shook to me. And Giannis in particular, it's, you know, I'm watching him last night, and it's one of those moments in sports where it's kind of, you know, you wish you could be a fly on the wall inside of his own brain and just what is he thinking? Because he doesn't look like either he or the group have what it's going to take intensity wise to get this Miami team, because Jimmy Butler is a crazy person and he is showing that right now, and it is contagious. And Bam Adebayo, who honestly, I don't spend a ton of time around Miami because I'm based on the West Coast, and I'm just really enjoying watching some of their guys. I mean, Tyler Hero is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Duncan Robinson. These are a bunch of nobodies in terms of where they came from, and that fits in with Jimmy. And meanwhile, I mean, Giannis, even though Giannis has got his own amazing rags-to-riches story, but the Bucks are the elite squad, and they look like, you know, the heavyweight champ that didn't expect a fight like this at all. I think they're in big trouble.
I don't know if you saw the quote from Richard Jefferson, the former NBA player, who said that Giannis is Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, that's a little rough. Well, I mean, man, for one, RJ's...
Good luck finding Michael Jordan.
Yes, yeah. Well, and then there's two sides to that coin, because as we walked out of the arena from that game last night, Gary Washburn and I from Boston Globe were talking, and we were saying, like, the Chris Middleton question, like the age old question of who do you get Giannis as the number two. And I'm sitting there going, yo, like, Chris just had an incredible year. He's 50, 40, 90. I mean, this is number two stuff. It's just not happening right now. And the other hard part for them, and the hypothetical of, let's say they actually get beat here, is they have created one of the most unique and special cultures in the league, where everybody involved loves the vibe and the culture. That's great. But when it doesn't get you to the result, if you move a Chris Middleton, good luck trying to figure out what that means to Giannis personally and how that impacts the culture. There's just a lot of layers to this thing. And I don't envy, you know, GM John Horst and coach Mike Budenholzer at all right now. And they downplayed it last night, and I get it. But man, they just acted like this was nothing. Like, okay, it's two games. And I'm sitting there going, no, this Heat team is not backing off. So I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, that's I viewed it the same way. And it's one thing to be a guy who puts up great numbers. There's regular season numbers, and then there's postseason numbers. And I need Chris Middleton to be great in the postseason, just like Anthony Davis. He didn't play any meaningful games. Last meaningful game he had prior to this year was probably at Kentucky in the national title game. Now you come in, hey, I put up all these great numbers. Now can you do it when the spotlight is on you, when everybody is watching everything you do and describing and critiquing everything you do? We see guys who love it, grab it, cherish it, strangle it, and then the other guys who it just consumes them. And that's what I don't know with the Greek Freak or Chris Middleton. We've seen the Raptors step up. You know, Fred VanVleet, he's not afraid. Kyle Lowry's not afraid. Pascal Siakam has not stepped up. Anthony Davis has to step up. Paul George has not stepped. Kawhi loves this. So you see, playoff basketball brings out the best and sometimes the worst in players.
100%. I agree with all that. And to take it back to Giannis, I feel like when I watched him in October, November, and December, he's notorious for being the guy who plays like it's the NBA Finals, even if it's a seeding game, even if it's a preseason game. And he's, you know, his intensity level is always very, very high. So the downside of that is he sets the bar so high on that front that I'm watching him last night and just going, man, like, where it's not there. And it's because he's frustrated. It's because he's seeing a wall of Heat defenders. Yeah. It's because he can't do what he does. You know, Coach Bud had a line about how Giannis is being Giannis. And I'm sitting there going, no, he's not. He's not the same guy. This guy acted like it was men, you know, men amongst boys for most of the year. And he's just running into a wall right now.
Before I let you go, who's in better shape, the Lakers or Clippers, going into the second round?
Both pretty good. I mean, the Lakers getting, you know, I do think they're going to have Rondo back, and that matters. A lot of folks like to kill Rondo and say he's washed and say, He's not, but he's part of the solution for them. Him not being there messed up their lineups quite a bit and left them searching in the kinds of ways that killed their shooting. You know, we don't equate Rondo with shooting, but there's, you know, I mean, it's a low bar, but him being there is going to be big. So I'll pick the Lakers, but the Clippers are in good shape, you know, and the Kawhi factor, as you kind of alluded to a second ago, is big. It's pretty nice to have that one dude that, you know, is not going to be part of any of these conversations about composure or intensity. He's just robotic about it.
There's something, and I brought this up a couple of times, and I don't know if anybody's ever equated Kawhi in the way he plays to music, but there is a jazz feel to him. He's never in a hurry. And there's a easy flow to him that is rare to see in this game, certainly when it comes to the playoffs. You buy into my Thelonious Monk or Miles Davis references?
I do.
Yeah,
I do. Shameless plug. A buddy of mine wrote a book, Basketball and Jazz. David Thorpe, a fantastic coach and longtime media personality. And Kawhi does play that way. And you know, like a jazz song, you listen to it and you're mellow and you're enjoying it. You're chilling. And next thing you know, that puppy ramps up and the drums start kicking in. And, you know, and now it's a different vibe and a different level. He's just unflappable and maybe more so than anybody in the league.
Sam, hope you're doing well. We appreciate your time as always.
You got it. Thanks, Dan.
All right. That's Sam Amick. He writes for The Athletic, NBA senior writer. I don't know if we came up with other music for players and how they play. And you could do other sports. Like if you were coming up with something for Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, like what kind of music would it be with them, with their style and the way they play? If you're going to have a basketball player and it was going to be Zion, what would it be? I don't know, but it just... It struck me when I saw Kawhi a couple of games ago, and I just went, he's never in a hurry. There's always, he maintains the pace that he wants. You can't speed him up or slow him down. His demeanor never changes. And there is this artistry to what he does because he makes it look simple that I'm going to get there. You know I'm going to get there, but you can't stop me. And he loves the big moment. Yeah, McLovin.
He's getting have you seen this Michael Jordan Kawhi thing that's kind of making the rounds a lot, that he has very similar moves to Jordan, mid-range game?
Well, I see that.
Yeah.
I mean, he does. He takes advantage of the mid-range jumper. Jordan wasn't, well, it was just different back then. He could be a deep shooter, but he wasn't a deep shooter. He took the mid-range jumper or he posted you on the baseline. But Kawhi, Kevin Durant has made a career out of the mid-range jumper. Because we're either inside packing it in or we're on the perimeter, and then you have all this space there. And I know it's not glamorous, but it is productive, in particular when you're in the postseason. When you need buckets, when you need a big bucket, I don't care if it's a mid. This is the problem I have with the Rockets. There's nothing wrong with a mid-range jumper. Like, they feel embarrassed, I think, when they I got to take a mid-range jumper. And maybe it's the damn analytics here. Yeah, McLovin.
The drive to the hole and kick it out for three is out of control right now.
Yeah.
Guys don't want to get their shot blocked. They're terrified of it. So they kick it out.
It's the whole league, though. If you took away the three for one season, do we bring back the true big man?
Oh. I'm in. One season.
Like, just, I would be curious. If something happened where we ran out of paint and we couldn't paint the three-point line, so now there's no three-pointers and there's going to be big men. It's like dinosaurs coming back. Like, what's that? Is that a T-Rex? No, that's a Porzingis. Yeah, see.
Nobody really wants that.
They don't want the return of the big man?
Back to the basket, lob it in, and a little quick move to the hoop.
So you'd rather watch... 1 for 9 from 3-point range with James Harden, those kind of nights, or missing 23 of 25 from 3-point range
rather than just feed the big man turnarounds.
Probably. McLovin,
what big man do you guys miss? Who's like, are we missing James Edwards hitting an 8-footer? What's the big deal?
Well, wait a minute. Kristaps Porzingis, if there's no 3-point line, is going to be in the paint.
Oh, that's
back to his basket.
Yeah, I know, but. Yeah.
Little drop step. That's okay.
Like Karl Anthony Towns. He's a really good 3-point shooter. He's shooting 41% from three. He attempts 8 threes a game.
Yeah.
But
oh, got to catch his games. Ooh, those are exciting.
Wow.
No, my point is that he wouldn't be camping out on the
You're
not
even watching when he's shooting threes, McLovin.
But I think the point is, though, is that, all right, he might be taking all these threes, but it's just not exciting to watch him in the post, arm up, wait for the feed, and then turn. That's not exciting.
Like Joel Embiid in the post? Yes, McLovin.
I got a good poll question. It's late, but what do you want to come back more? The fullback? The big man, or like Willie McGee, the guy who gets the ball in play in baseball, the guy who actually makes contact in baseball.
A contact hitter, a fullback.
You should have started the show with this.
Yeah. Let's do a fourth hour.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do it. We'll do it solely on Peacock here. Give a heads up to programming. Cutting into the Rich Eisen show. Yes, Paulie.
Option run football.
I would take that.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a good fullback. When's the last time you watched the game and you went, man, I really miss a fullback? Kyle Juszczyk. Hey, Juszczyk. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. We'll try to do all that next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app / The Dan Patrick Show. Josh Gordon back with the Seattle Seahawks. I think he's played in less than half of the games that he would have been eligible to play for, or that were played. What, 40 games out of 90 games, Paulie?
Yeah, he's since his big season in 2013, he was like 1,700 yards. He's missed a couple seasons outright, and he's played in 41 of 96 possible games.
Although you go back to that breakout season, and he was unbelievable that year. And you thought, boy, he ticketed for stardom, 19 yards a catch, and we didn't realize everything that was going on in his life, had gone on in his life leading up to that. Steve Nash is taking over the Brooklyn Nets. Those are just some of the headlines today. This day in sports history, Paulie will have that. Final results of the poll question, McLovin. I don't think we're going to go with a new poll question in the final 8 minutes here.
We went with who needs playoff success the most, and it's still Clayton Kershaw number one. Yeah. Then James Harden number two. I agree with you, though. It feels like Giannis has a little more pressure.
I'm going to give him next year. If they bow out in the second round, then there's even more pressure. If he gets to a conference final, then that eases a little bit of that pressure, I think. And Lamar Jackson has only been in the league for a couple of years.
And Mike Trout?
I don't know. You got to have a decent team around you, at least. He can only carry you so much. It's when you get in those moments, those big moments, that's when you carry your team. That's what we'll remember. Reggie Miller on the program tomorrow, and Michael Wilbon will stop by. Jesse in Los Angeles joins us now. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me?
Good morning, GP and the Danettes.
Good morning.
Happy tight shirt Thursday. Fritzy, is that body paint?
It is not body paint, but it might as well be. I am having trouble breathing. It's not the XL that I need.
Yeah, it does look like it's painted on, but man, the guns are on display. We got the full arsenal working there. Pretty impressive.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's the rest of the body that doesn't look good.
Bicep curls and pizza. This is the body.
It sounds like a cookbook there. Or a workout program.
Yeah, big arms, big waist. I don't know. It's kind of a push. It's probably actually negative.
Big arm, big waist. WASTE.
Wow. Yeah, but I'm wow. the. I've accepted the fact that I'm the guy that you look at and you're like, oh, that's the guy that probably used to work out a long time ago. He looks like he used to work out.
Just do something other than your arms.
I've been going for a walk. Doesn't burn a lot of calories, and it's not going to exactly cover the whole body workout. But I am, you know, doing a couple of miles around the neighborhood.
A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a waste is a terrible thing to mind. Just letting you know.
Put down the egg rolls.
Thank you. Scott in Indiana. Hi, Scott. What do you have for me today?
Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Scott.
I wanted to first thank you guys for the last 7 months of getting me through the darkest time of doing a Buster Douglas on cancer. Now I'm cancer-free.
Awesome. Awesome.
Getting to the point, with you being a guard like I was, do you think with Nash being named head coach that it's easier to name a point guard who ran the floor a head coach as opposed to a forward or a typical center like from the 80s with Ewing or even Jabbar or someone like that?
Well, I think it's a cliche. Thank you, Scott. It's weird that I think there is heightism in the NBA when it comes to a coach. That do you want somebody who is 6'10", 7 feet? And I don't know if a guard is smarter. I think it's like the catcher in baseball, because the catcher has to see everything, and catchers would get opportunities to be managers. That we looked at the catcher, like they wore the tools of ignorance, I think is what the catching outfit equipment was. But you're out there and you're seeing the field, and then a point guard and how he sees the floor. I think it's beneficial. And you know, Steve Nash, that ability to make that translate into that team, can they play the way he played? Can they be unselfish? He's going to have to get Kyrie to be more like himself for that team, I think, to flourish. I don't think you can be selfish. And Kyrie is at times a selfish point guard. That, I think, will be a great challenge for Steve Nash. But, yeah, you know, sure, why not? Have the guy who is your leader on the floor, and now he's your leader as the head coach. This day in sports history, Paulie.
2001, Bud Smith of the Cardinals, I think, became the 16th Major League rookie to throw a no-hitter. It was his 11th career start. 1895, the first professional football game was played in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Latrobe YMCA smoked Jeanette Athletic Club 12-0. Sports radio shows were crushing Jeanette the next
day. And I had them. I had 10.
Yeah.
And Jeanette.
Ugh.
I lost that one.
Never forget.
Yeah, that was a tough loss there. Let's see. So Reggie Miller on the program tomorrow. Michael Wilbon on the program as well. Let me start with best and worst of the week, or what you learned. Best and worst. Todd?
Chris Paul says a lot of people doubted the Thunder, and as Paulie points out, and rightfully so, I think they got bounced by Houston last night in the first round of Game 7.
If you win, you can say that a lot of people doubted us.
A lot of people doubting us.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's us losing in the sports Emmys. A lot of people doubted us, and rightfully so.
Turns out they were all right, so shout out to them. And
we'd always hear, oh, you doubted us. Yeah, that's when a team advances or wins a title.
Not when you lost.
Yeah. Yeah, you doubted us. Yeah, and rightfully so.
A lot of people didn't think we could do it.
And they were right.
Turns out we couldn't.
Chris Mannix is leaving the bubble. What? I have no idea.
Seton?
Yeah, Chris Mannix, haggard.
Yeah, he did look a little roughed up. Paulie?
Mannix is going to leave the bubble to go to Vermont, stay in his house, and order takeout for the next month.
Which is what he was probably doing in the bubble. What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom, network of independent attorneys providing advice when you need it the most. Since LegalZoom is a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow.